minute, this is our closing thing.
Yep, show's over, Wendy.
We didn't start it. Are we having technical difficulties?
I think we are having technical difficulties. But the core of Army engineers is they're working on it right now, diligently, Wendy, and we'll be up soon.
Better jump.
Ryan Burrow cannot be on the air with us. Go away, Ryan.
39. You've got 40 right now.
He almost swore during the news. Did you hear him?
39 in Tinley Park at 41 degrees along.
He can't be in our closing theme.
No. I think we got it.
What a closing theme hog he is.
All right. Watch how this goes.
All right. Smooth transition. Here comes smooth transition.
Here we go.
Here we go. Oh, that was great. Masterful.
I kind of like when things go wrong.
Yeah, it's more interesting.
Now you get a little feel of what my life is like every day. I don't know if I'm coming or going.
You should have that looked at. Luckily, we have a job where if things go wrong, all that happens is the wrong theme is played or something. You know, there's other people, you know, if something goes wrong at their job, it's a catastrophe.
Are you saying, like, this isn't brain surgery or something like
this
that?
This is not brain surgery or something like that.
But if you streamers were trying to listen to us, you were unable to for a brief moment.
And you probably enjoyed that moment.
I didn't.
A moment of silence, a little quiet.
That's not true.
Some quiet time.
Welcome to the stream. I missed saying that it's Wednesday, anything can happen day, and it just did.
It sure did, Wendy. Wow. Wow.
That's all right. We're back on track now, and we'll show how resilient we are.
Mm-hmm. During the regular show, we were talking about the inventions that had the biggest impact on humanity. There's a website called Espresso.com, and they've put together 30 candidates for which invention may have meant the most to humanity. I think so far you and I have been in agreement on almost all of
them.
They've all been important. Every one of them that we've mentioned has certainly changed the course of history, some a little bit more than others. Here's one I think you'll agree. I know you'll agree. The telephone. Boy, is that an important invention. Where would we be without the telephone?
I would be lost.
Got to have a telephone. Invented by?
Alexander Graham Bell.
Yes.
Ding dong.
Absolutely right. After much competition and controversy, Scottish-born inventor Alexander Graham Bell. I did not know he was born in Scotland.
I didn't either.
That was the early hello. Instead of hello, they would just say was awarded a U.S. patent for both the telephone instrument and the concept of a telephone system all the way back in March of 1876.
Wow.
1876, that was your first telephone. Slightly larger than most of the phones we use today. Just slightly. Here's one that was fairly important. Vaccines.
Is that Jonas Salk?
Yeah, no. He just did the one. But vaccines came before that one. He did polio. The polio vaccine was Jonas Salk. British physician Edward Jenner introduced the very first vaccine back in 1796 when he used the cowpox virus. He does mornings on another station.
I'm not even laughing.
To inoculate human patients against smallpox. I would have started with largepox. The smallpox, to me, don't sweat the smallpox. That's my motto, Wendy. But the largepox, that's the problem. Since then, vaccination has wiped out smallpox, decimated polio, and continues to help prevent other deadly diseases like typhoid fever, cholera, and tuberculosis.
Can't add measles, mumps, and rubella on that because measles are back because of the anti-vaxxers. We have our feelers out for a bunch of kids who were not vaccinated because their parents were anti-vaxxers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to label them. I just want to say they had parents who didn't want to vaccinate them. Mm-hmm. I don't anti-vaxxers. Stay away from them.
Right.
They're bad people.
Yes.
And these kids went on their own and got vaccinated. And there are a whole slew of issues happening now because of people who didn't get their kids vaccinated.
That's correct.
Measles, pretty much eradicated. Same with the mumps. And both are back.
Yes.
That's scary to me.
Yep. Yep. It is. Here's one I would not have thought of initially, but it is an important invention, certainly, the internal combustible engine.
I don't know what that
means. It was invented by a man named Lenore back in 1859.
Is that when I eat a bad burrito?
Yeah. Yes.
Internal combustible
engine.
Oh.
Lenore unveiled his first successful gasoline-powered engine. That's the engine by which car travel has become a reality. In Paris. Closely modeled on a horizontal steam engine, it was expertly refined by a German inventor named Nicholas Otto in 1878.
The automobile.
The automobile.
You gave me a very weird, sinister look.
That was beautiful. I know we're joking, but
I bet you that is how it happened.
It would have to have been, right?
Yeah.
And the auto became an auto.
It had to have been.
It would have, yeah. That's, wow. That's when funny comes back to pay off, because you were right, I'm pretty sure.
I wasn't trying to be funny.
No,
I really
I
think that,
I know. This here's an important invention that doesn't really get the credibility today that it once got, and that's the camera. Now people have their cameras as part of their telephones, but the think about it. It was, you were recording history, a picture of history. It's amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
But we don't appreciate it for some reason. Photography was truly born when the camera obscura was adapted to produce a permanent image. This was achieved by two Frenchmen, Joseph Nipsey and Louis Jacques Mandre de Gaudu. Let's just say Nipsey. That's easier to say. There was an episode of Night Gallery called Camera Obscura.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that
yeah.
one? With Ross Martin.
I don't
from
know.
From Wild
who that
Wild
is.
West.
Yes, yes.
He was in it. Boy, was that eerie.
And I mean, well, I guess it isn't true. I was going back to the Flintstones again, where the first camera was the bird would right. poke it out with its beak into stone.
That's how the first camera operated in prehistoric times.
There is something to that, just not a bird.
Right.
But that's pretty
kind of
fascinating.
Yeah.
Not Kodak?
No. That was later on. Kodak was much later on. Here's one that if you asked this of anybody, I would say 25 and under, what's the most important invention of all time?
iPhone.
They would all say either an iPhone or a computer, right?
Yeah.
So the computer made the list. It was designed and partially built by an English inventor, a man named Charles Babbage.
Who did this?
Charles Babbage.
No, what did he invent?
The computer.
Yeah, Babbage's was a store.
Yeah, there was a computer,
yes.
A computer chain called Babbage's.
Named aptly.
After Charles Babbage. He was around in the 19th century. That's when he invented what was called the analytical engine. And it was considered to be the first computer. It had four components, a mill, a store, a reader, and a printer. These were all precursors to the CPU.
Central Processing Unit.
Central Processing Unit, BCE. CPU BCE.
MOUSE.
MOUSE. It also had some source of memory, storage, input, and output devices, just like modern computers do.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's right. Right. It looks very much like when you see a picture of the first one. Keep in mind it was built in the 19th century. It's akin to what we know as a typewriter. It's very similar to a typewriter.
Well, that would be the keyboard
yeah.
part of it, yeah.
yeah. Television. Well, where would
yeah.
we be without the television?
Well, you would be very unhappy.
I would sulk.
All of your memories, childhood and otherwise, seem to somehow revolve around
the
television.
TV.
Show Dream On with Brian Benben.
Yep.
Who was he married to?
In real life?
Yeah.
Madeline Stowe?
Very good.
Yeah.
That show should have had you starring in it.
It's kind of my life.
It was a really good show. I wish that was on Netflix or something. That was Dream On was a pretty good television show.
It was a very good show. Yeah.
But everything revolved around things he saw on TV. And
Martin Tupper, was that his name?
Yes. You're good.
Yeah.
I thought of you last night because I was watching The Kids Are All Right on ABC. I love that show. It's my new favorite show. And the kid that this story is loosely based on, the series, was trying to watch the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Mm.
And he's like, I've got to watch it because what am I going to talk about with my friends at school? And I totally 100% thought of you.
Yeah.
His parents told him to go to bed and he snuck under the couch to continue watching.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally thought of you, a little young Billy Luff.
I watched it so much as a kid.
I
watched the news before I really understood what the news represented. I would watch Huntley and Brinkley. I can't say Huntley and Brinkley without getting choked up, Wendy.
I look away for a minute. I don't know what happened.
Like, I would watch those guys, and I was 3 or 4, and I would just sit in front of the TV and just listen to the news when Huntley and Brinkley were delivering it, and I was like, oh, this is important stuff. I got to know this stuff. And it was all about what was going on in Vietnam and everything like that.
Too much for a little kid.
Way too much.
Wonder how much of that sunk in.
Right.
I mean, you heard the words, but, well, you know, because I didn't understand Vietnam until I watched that Ken Burns documentary 3 years ago.
Right. It was... I don't know. I don't know what was in it for me at that point, other than I felt the need to be informed, even though I was three. And I, believe me, I used it for plenty of evil as well. I watched as many cartoons and things as I could possibly get my hands on. But for some reason, when the news was on when I was a kid, I would just plant myself. I had this giant stuffed turtle, and I would just sit on it. It was like, you know, keep in mind, I'm three, so I'm only this big. So the turtle would lay flat on the floor, and I would sit on it, straddle it, hold on to the head of the turtle, and watch Huntley and Brinkley. It was easy to find me.
That is a really weird kind of situation.
My guess is most people watching Huntley and Brinkley back in 1966 were not straddling stuffed turtles watching the show. And I used to think, what if Chet and David, that's Huntley and Brinkley, to those who don't know, what if Chet and David were also straddling stuffed at turtles while delivering the news? It would have changed the whole complexion of the show.
And ratings would have been top of the heap.
Oh, people would have loved it. People would have loved it. All right, so television should certainly be on this list as the most influential. Motion pictures, Wendy.
Big time.
As we call them. This is before movies. The motion picture.
The picture show.
Legendary American inventor Thomas Edison is frequently credited with inventing the motion picture in 1889, despite the fact that his motion picture operations were run by an assistant, a man named W.K.L. Dixon. Boy, the times were tough back then. You couldn't get by on just one or two initials. You had to have three sometimes.
That's crazy.
W.K.L. Dixon. And also several British and French inventors could also claim precedent, but it's Thomas Edison who always gets the credit.
Well, that's a pretty fascinating list.
We're waiting on a guest.
Well, he can come in.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah. All right. That's what we should do.
Bring him in. Bring the guests in, Wendy. Play the Bring the Guests In song.
I thought you were going to bring him in when you were talking about the computer that was invented by Charles Babbage or whatever his name was, because there are so many dynamite things that you can do online these days, and this is one of them.
Well, it's funny you mention that. Haider Issembouli is in right now from the Online Trading Academy. He's the owner of Online Trading Academy. Perhaps you have heard the commercials right here on this very radio station, WGN Radio. And Haider, we wanted to have you in to talk a little bit about this process, because this is a new thing for us, but not for you, correct?
No, not for me at all. I've actually been doing this since 2010.
You were in the trading game since 2010.
Yeah, I've been doing the school since that time, yeah.
What has changed in that time? Have things changed in the business of online trading?
You know,
I don't even know what, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't even know what online trading is. I know that you teach people to online trade. What is online trading?
So here's the humor of it all, is that the company originally started back in 97. And so at that time, in 97, it was actually made legal to actually trade online.
You couldn't do it legally until 97. Were people doing it illegally prior to this?
No, they were not. Well, what was happening prior to 1997 was everybody was calling up their broker.
Their broker was charging
them, you know, for one trade, $500 and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where those terms of stock jocks and the CME and the Chicago Board of Trade and Options Exchange were so prevalent. It's because they would get a call from their person and say, hey, buy this stock, you know? But then in 1997, that's when these trading online and computerized trading occurred, where it started then pushing away from the floor.
Right.
And you could do it yourself then? Is that the key to it?
Yes. But the problem, though, back in 1997 is that, think about our internet connection.
Yeah.
No. At home, it was bad. So
it wasn't instantaneous like it is now.
Correct.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And so the company originally started in 97, where there was these trading arcades. Mm-hmm. And you would come in and rent a seat for fast internet connection at the trading arcades. And so you would see these just rows and rows of computers to be able to then look and trade for yourself. And people would do this as a full-time job. Well, then as time went on, internet got faster at home. People no longer needed the...
No middleman.
They didn't need the trading arcade anymore.
Yeah.
But what was interesting is that the company, that trading floor, became the second largest trading floor west of the Mississippi.
Oh, really?
online training academies.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because the founder of the company, Eyal Shahar, mm-hmm. realized that training people at those arcades was most important to then make people stay at that floor.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes people would come on that floor, they'd start trading. If they didn't know what they were doing, they'd be gone in 3 months because they thought they were going to be the next, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
You know? But the education stayed strong back then. The trading arcades yeah. went away, and then he created the school as overall whole.
What are the things you tell people to look for? If people are new to this, what are the things that they should be aware of?
So the best way I can say this is the first thing that our approach is how to protect people.
Yeah.
It's the number one thing. I mean, think about it. Think about all the hardworking people throughout this whole world and even mm-hmm. in Chicago itself that they work their whole lives to save up this certain money. And then how much attention do they put to it?
Mm-hmm. I do nothing. I pay no attention to it. I really don't.
Right.
And you have 401ks. You have these things. I don't pay any attention to it.
And here's the thing is that that's the first thing is just to focus on the protection. But where we work and where we help people mm-hmm. is the people that are willing to put forth that effort. You know, I've got family members that are in the financial world. My brother used to be a financial advisor. I used to be a financial analyst. Mm-hmm. So we were in that background. And the biggest debate is trade for yourself or do you use your 401ks or your financial planners or advisors?
Right.
And I tell them if they are not willing to put forth the effort, if they're not willing to put forth the disciplines and so on and so forth, don't bother trying to trade for yourself. If you are willing to put forth the time, if you're willing to put forth the effort, that's why you get educated and that's where you do it for yourself.
It makes sense.
You know, it's a big chasm.
Yeah.
One or the other. There's no in the middle.
Bill, why don't you go to Online Trading Academy and get trained and then help me?
This is exactly what my plan is to do.
Well, to bilk me out of all my funds.
Well, that would happen eventually. I wouldn't do that to you overnight, but eventually it would. Who is your average person? Customer? Is customer the right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's students.
Student.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Prospect, whatever you want to use the words as. To us, it's the person that's outwardly seeking the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, the people that come to us is the I don't trust my financial advisor or planner.
Oh.
Or, for example, there's been years where people are like, hey, this 1 year, the market did nothing, and I ended up losing 5%. Why?
Yeah.
And then they want to dive into it of there was fees that they weren't told about and this and that.
It's tricky.
It is.
But you get around that.
Right.
Right? You somehow get around that. These people that have hot tips on stocks, is that legitimate? Does anyone really have a hot tip on a stock anymore, or is that just a thing of the past?
It still is going on.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are still doing, you know, types of podcasts of, hey, watch me trade type things.
Right.
And I'm going to give you these trades and newsletters of trades. It's still out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to beat up on anything that's going on of what's going on there.
But once a guy like Jim Cramer gives you his hot stock tip and 1,000 or 100,000 people hear it and then they make a move, that changes the course of history, doesn't it, kind of?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the funny thing is that Jim Cramer over the years has been called out on his activities.
Yeah. John Stewart, you saw that?
Yeah, exactly. That so we actually love playing that video in our center. And here's the thing is that he constantly pushes the idea of, I'm for entertainment purposes.
Right.
And I'm thinking in my head, you're giving people advice with their hard-earned lifelong money.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that entertainment?
Is that entertainment, or are you trying to help people?
If people want to know more, Hader, the way to go is to call you guys at 833-917-6937. Online, you can be found at otaclass.com. And it sounds like a good idea. I'm very excited to take some classes and learn more.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
Very nice to meet you, and nice thanks for filling us in on what this even is.
Thank you.
It's helpful.
We'll take a quick break and then a lot more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on the stream on WGN.
Is Jasmine there?
Oh, play some music or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Play
some. We'll get some music for you. Hold on, Ryan. What would you like to hear?
I'm just quitting on today.
Would you, Wendy?
Just today's done.
Oh, come
I'm
on.
I'm done with today.
Everything will be fine.
Here, I got some music.
Here's some music, right?
There you go.
I was going to sing, but...
Oh, yeah, well, wait a minute here.
Hold on.
Here
we go. All right, now let's stop the music. Go ahead. What are you singing?
It's time for the Bill and Wendy Show bonus hour.
I like it. That was pretty good.
All right.
We're back. Wendy, the schedules for both Lollapalooza and Woodstock 50... They've both been posted.
I know, and I have some comments to make about the Woodstock one.
Mm-hmm.
The Woodstock, we were having a major discussion at home last night, and I just want to say before we discuss the bands, you think Woodstock should be the bands that, A, were either there originally, I hate to use this term, but the dinosaurs of rock, like Led Zeppelin never played there,
right.
So they should play there now. Robert Plant should get back together with them just to do this. The Beatles never played there. Paul McCartney should do it. These should be like the top of the heap of the rock and roll world, not like, you know, the Lumineers. I mean, I like them, but that's the Lollapalooza thing. If you're doing Woodstock, you know who's coming back who I really want to get a hold of?
Who?
Melanie. I loved her.
The girl who sang, I got a brand new pair of roller skates? Is that her?
You got a brand new key.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
So Melanie's coming. You got David Crosby, and he should be there because Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young were a big part of the thing. But, you know, you throw in, like, Jack White, and I love him.
The majority of the bands that will be appearing at Woodstock 50, and it's called that for obvious reasons, it is the 50th anniversary of Woodstock coming up this summer. Most of these people, I hate to break it to you, were not alive during Woodstock. Very few of these people were alive. We'll give you the list.
I'm just bothered by it.
So you have to keep in mind that most of the people who played there at Woodstock, for the most part, are no longer with us. Many of them are gone.
Bob Dylan never played there. He should play there.
But that's what I'm saying. Your idea is you're bringing in the people that missed it. They were around. They were performing at that time 50 years ago, but they weren't. But the people who actually played Woodstock, for the most part, not all of them, but most of them are gone.
Well, there's a lot that you are still here. Santana, I believe, is on the list. They're going to be there. They were originally there.
Right. So I think what they've
done
here...
Country Joe and the Fish is going to be there. That's all you need.
There you go.
They've tried their best to mix some of who was there with today's stars.
You got to think who's buying tickets, right?
Right.
Who's going to buy tickets for this thing?
Right.
I think the Today stars should not be there, and I think this should be a relivable moment for the people who were at Woodstock or me, who was a little too young to have gone, but would love to go see to recreate Woodstock.
That's brought to you by Pepsi.
Brought to you by Pepsi.
And depends.
Right? Because that.
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, that was the criticism. They did this, right, at the 25th anniversary, I want to say. The whole thing was, it was so, you know, there was so much marketing involved, and there were so many sponsorships, and people were like, this isn't really what it was. This is now, you know, something that, you know, marketing agencies have gotten a hold of.
Is their plan to do it in the exact same spot as the original?
I don't know.
I don't think they are. I don't think it's going to be in the same spot. No. Max Yasgur's farm.
Yeah.
Do you think that there will be the overarching, you know, same message and feeling of peace
Stay off
as
the towers?
There was? Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. I mean, maybe you just try to lock in the message. I mean, it was an anti-war message at the time, obviously.
True.
Vietnam, well, we were hot and heavy in Vietnam at that point. But, you know, can you bring that same message and that same feeling? Or is this just Lollapalooza, Coachella, Park 4?
That's what it is. That's
insane. All right, so here are your headliners and other acts that will be appearing, scheduled to appear at Woodstock 50 coming up later this year. You got your Jay-Z, who I don't remember being at the original Woodstock. He might have been. I don't remember. The Killers.
All right, I'm not slamming any of these bands, Jay-Z or The Killers. Let's just start there. But these guys already tour and do their thing, and they just have regular shows. I don't feel they should be a part of Woodstock.
No.
They should be at Lollapalooza. They're making this Lollapalooza. It's not.
Yeah.
I'm bothered by this.
I know, obviously. Obviously. What about the Sensational Space Shifters, Wendy?
I'm old.
Not a fan.
I don't know who they are.
Robert Plant. Now, that fits your description of who should be playing here, Robert Plant.
Robert Plant should suck up his pride and hook up with Jason Bonham, John Paul Jones.
Mm-hmm. Patty Page.
And the other guy.
Plant and Page, get them together.
Jimmy Page.
And Patty Page.
They should reunite for just this thing. Yeah. That would be the coolest thing ever.
Imagine Dragons will be there.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything for you. Santana.
Carlos
mentioned then.
Played the original.
Mm-hmm. Miley Cyrus.
I'm done.
Now you're upset. Well, shouldn't have told you that Miley Cyrus.
But do you know what I mean? I know they're trying to get a broad variety of people, but the people who like the Miley Cyrus and Imagine Dragons and even Jay-Z are not going to feel the festival of music that this is supposed to be, in my opinion.
Maybe they're trying to put together a multi-generational show where they go, we'll bring... Because the people who went to Woodstock 50 years ago are going to be 70. Right?
How are they going to get there? Is there a
rascal? No, everyone will have a rascal if you buy a ticket.
That's why it's not at the farm. Right. They need a cement area to get the rascals over.
It needs to be flat. So the people who went to the original, if they go, wow, we got to go back. We went 50 years ago. Let's go back. They're going to be around 70 years old. Some a little younger, some a little older.
I guess I didn't think of that.
So they want to come with their kids and their grandkids. And I guess they're going to try to have something for everybody.
I don't like it.
Are you boycotting Woodstock 50? Are you not going to
go? No, because the ticket prices are so outrageous.
Oh, I'm trying to find where it says what the ticket prices are, and I can't find
it. I don't know.
I thought
they were like $500 or something. And there's two fests going on. There's two Woodstock tribute things.
Simultaneously or at different times?
Different times, but I guess I get what they're doing, and I love, you know, on the awards show when you have the classic and the new people get together and do a song. But if this is truly supposed to be a Woodstock celebration, don't turn it into a Lollapalooza. That's my only thought.
All right.
It's not unique then.
Right.
It's like covering what Lollapalooza is doing or Pitchfork or all these other things.
I would suggest to them, because obviously they can't get Jimi Hendrix, so I would get Christina Hendrix from Mad Men. People like her. She's very popular. Very pretty. She could just go up there and do some scenes from Mad Men. People would love that. I wouldn't close with that.
But you could get Lenny Kravitz, who could do a little of what Jimmy did.
Oh, yeah. He's in the style of Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. Yep. No doubt about it. No Corinne Bailey Ray.
I don't know who that is.
She was very popular a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago.
Never even heard that name before.
She went away. Mm. She had a very sweet-sounding voice, Wendy. I think you'd like her. I think that would sell you on the idea of Woodstock 50. You seem very upset about this whole venture.
Well, it's just funny because we were talking about it last night at home, and my 19-year-old and I thought it should be the classics. Jim was the one who was like, oh, it's all right. You could have, you know, different
people.
But I don't know, to stay tried and true to the celebration of Woodstock.
Right.
If Lollapalooza was not a thing, this could have been like a cool thing, but it's just copying what Lollapalooza does.
You know, whenever I see footage of Woodstock, I say to myself, and I know how legendary, I know that it was considered to be the most important concert of all time. I wouldn't have lasted 10 minutes there. It was too dirty. Just mud everywhere.
It was rainy and
a lot of people.
Lollapalooza is very
similar
to that too. It's just hot, sticky, and dirty there too.
But we were too young. We were, you know, 4 years old.
4 or 5, yeah.
Had I been in my 20s, that would have been. I would have loved that.
All that footage I see, I would go, "Hey, that's Wendy."
Probably
doing a weird dance.
Because my teens, I might have been too young to, you know, go from Brookfield, Illinois, home of the third largest zoo, to New York.
Right. And there was shuttle bus from the zoo to Woodstock?
No, there should have been. And my friends were more into, like, disco music.
Oh.
So I couldn't have talked them into going. So maybe in my 20s is when I really think I would have loved this.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why I'm upset, because in my 50s, I would like to go and really do like a pretend experience of what Woodstock was. And I don't want all these...
You don't want the killers mishmash to ruin that.
No. And I don't dislike them.
I just love those guys.
But I don't think this is the place for them.
Where should the Killers go that week?
Just they tour. Yeah. They're on tour.
Akron, Ohio.
The Who should be part of this. They're not. They should be.
So remind me, because I don't remember the full schedule of the original Woodstock. The Who was not involved in that, right?
They
were there?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I can't remember the original lineup, and that's what we should maybe look into.
I just remember seeing all the footage I see is people screaming. They're like on the ground. They've been knocked down. They're muddy. But they seem to be enjoying themselves. I would not enjoy myself under those conditions.
Yes, the Who definitely did play, because it's when the album Tommy came out, and I'm pretty positive they did Tommy. And
no,
I remember
Tommy came out way later. Tommy's not 50 years old. That came out way later.
All right. The Who did play. I could be wrong on that, but I know that I was reading something about the Who was supposed to go on at a specific time, but everybody was running late because of the traffic. That would have been a nightmare.
Because they had an amount of people that they expected to come, and wasn't there 10 times the people that they expected?
Yes. Richie Havens opened the Woodstock Festival. Is he still around?
I don't think so.
He wasn't even scheduled to go on until later in the evening, but the other bands that were supposed to go on were running late, so he just went up there and did stuff. He was up there for quite a time.
He did improv.
He did, and but musical improv, because there was this, I read this, where is this? He took the stage around 5:15. Richie Havens did. He performed several encores, playing every song he knew, trying to fill time. Searching for another song to sing, he began strumming, getting into a groove, and then the word freedom came to his mind. So he sang his now famous song, Freedom, for the first time on stage at Woodstock.
Wow.
He made the words up as he played, so it was musical improv.
Yes.
And he later told the story of having to see the movie Woodstock so that he could actually hear how the song went, so he could perform it at later concerts.
That's brilliant.
Isn't that a cool story?
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah.
So that whole song just kind of magically came to him.
Yes.
Wow. That's impressive.
That is totally impressive.
Yeah.
My mouse stopped working.
Oh.
I'm looking at the 1994 version of Lollapalooza.
Who was there?
Or not Lollapalooza, but Woodstock. Looks like Sheryl Crow, Collective Soul, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Cypress Hill, Nine Inch Nails, Aerosmith, Metallica, The Cranberries. So
it's a great lineup.
Well, kind of similar though. You know, it was that time. It was the artists at that
time.
Yeah.
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 Which you kind of, I mean, if you're organizing a show like this,
Santana was there.
You almost have to do it that way.
Sure.
I mean, you could take a chance.
Got to sell tickets.
Remember, that one was how many years ago?
This was 94.
Okay, 94.
I don't think attendance was really high on that either.
Actually, they initially sold 160,000, but the crowd estimate was 500,000.
Oh, that's all right.
They did all right.
That's pretty good.
And that was sponsored by Pepsi. I remember having the Pepsi cans with the,
right.
You know, the guitar with the birds on
it. Yeah. All right, so that lineup has been announced. That's Woodstock 50. Also out today is the Lollapalooza 2019 lineup, a little closer to home. Pretty impressive list. You've been doing it in the news a little bit, Ryan.
Tell me some.
All right. You got Ariana Grande. You got Childish Gambino. 21 Pilots. The Strokes.
I like The Strokes.
Tame Impala. Not familiar with
their
work.
I don't know who that is.
Flume. Which is good because it's going to be hot, so you need rides. The Chainsmokers. And J Balvin.
I don't know any of these people. And the Who did perform Tommy, the album.
But not 50 years ago.
At Woodstock? Yes, they did.
They did?
Yeah.
That's 50
years
old?
It's a Boy, Tommy, Can You Hear Me?, Acid Queen, Pinball Wizard, Abbie Hoffman Incident.
Really?
Tommy's
Holiday
Camp.
I was sure that came
in, I thought I had
like
read
10
that
years
somewhere.
Later.
No.
Wow.
See, time flies when you get old.
So going back to the Lollapalooza lineup, did you see that Tenacious D is in there?
Tenacious D.
That's Jack Black's band.
Yeah,
right. There's some interesting bands beyond those headliners, beyond those big eight. There's interesting bands mixed in and performers mixed in. Kacey Musgraves, who is incredibly popular now. If you blinked, you missed it. She is now very, very popular. She's everywhere. Lil Wayne will be there. And he's very small.
What about Medium Wayne?
People can't see Lil Wayne. Medium Wayne is a no-show, Wendy, sadly. Perry Farrell's Kind Heaven Orchestra. I love the name. I'm not familiar with their work in any way, shape, or form, but I do enjoy the name. Gunna is going to be there.
Gunna what?
Gunna.
Gunna.
G-U-N-N-A. Here's a name that's buried, and I'm surprised it's buried in all the other names, because they could almost headline Fits in the Tantrums.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're immensely popular. I'm surprised they're just kind of almost an afterthought in this ad. I don't know who Fisher is. I don't know who Cimino is. Lauren Daigle's getting a lot of airplay. Have you ever heard her?
She's a Christian singer.
Her voice is very Adele-like. Is that fair?
The thing about that airplay is, I mean, her music, she's a Christian musician, and she's getting a lot of airplay.
See, now here's what's strange about that. I didn't know that until you just said it.
Yeah.
So it's subtle.
Yeah, her music is very popular like on K-Love and places like
Would you agree it's an Adele-sounding voice?
It is.
Yeah. So is she performing in the Lollapalooza nap tent?
Yes.
I would like to be lulled to sleep with a little mid-afternoon nap in between other...
I thought this says Wheat Thins, but it's Wethin. But I would go if they had Wheat Thins, I would go. I don't care what the
Wheat
price
Thins
is.
Wheat Thins are great, aren't
Love
they?
Love Wheat
Thins. Do you like Triscuits as well?
No.
I like the Triscuits.
They're all right. They're fine. There's a bunch of names that I would mention, but I got to be honest, I don't know who they are.
Did you see Diesel?
No, is Diesel involved? Oh,
Diesel.
That's Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, it is, right? What? That's his rap persona.
Do you want me to shoot it? No. Do you want me to pass it? No. Do you want me to slam? Yes.
Diesel.
Slam.
Wendy, you got to go see Diesel.
I think Shaquille O'Neal would be fun to watch.
It would be funny to watch.
I wonder if he's going to be at the kids stage.
Didn't he rap a little in Kazam?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
everybody knows that.
Remember the BMG and the Columbia House DVDs or CDs
yes.
that you do?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he was up there, man. You could get one of his CDs for free.
Really?
Got it somewhere.
Wendy, I'm seeing on the list Jeremy Zucker, who I don't know what he does performance-wise, but he's my text guy's son.
Honest to God?
I think so. I don't know if it's the same Jeremy Zucker, but he's only 11. I can't imagine him headlining, but...
They start him young now.
One of the smaller stages, maybe.
I can't wait to see And Many More.
Right. To be announced. B. Miller will be out there, Half Alive, Negrita, Bank, B-A-Y-N-K, Matoma... I don't know who any...
I don't either.
I know the funny thing because is, if you call our names out to these guys, they'd go, I don't know who those guys are either.
You look at this lineup, though, 3 years from now. I mean, Lady Gaga was super far down the list.
Yeah.
You know, and you see those images, and I probably walked by the stage when she was performing.
Oh,
I didn't I didn't even think twice about it.
And how many years ago was that?
That would have been, late 2000, 2006, 2007, somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah. So, now, I've never been to this, so you have to tell me... You buy a one-day pass or you buy a whole show pass.
Yeah.
And you're just allowed to go from stage to stage to stage with that?
Yeah, exactly. You can kind of bounce around. They try to stagger it where the stages that are pointing at each other don't perform at the same time. But sometimes they've got some real questionable scheduling, like people in the same genre on at the same time. And it's like, why would you have this person, you know, why not do a hip-hop act and a rock act instead of doing two rock acts at the same time? Because now you've kind of split your focus here a little bit. Which side do I go to?
So you can't hear, if you're in the back on one of these more popular shows, are you hearing overflow music from the other stages?
You know, some of the stages are super loud. They've got like a hip-hop one on the side where like if you just walk in, I mean, you get blown out. But usually, you know, if you're standing in front of the stage, that's what you're hearing. You're not so much worried about what the other stages.
Rockford used to do this thing and probably still do every year, every summer. They do this thing called On the Waterfront Fest.
Mm-hmm.
This is back when I was doing stand-up. So they had me on what they called the stand-up stage. There was one concert stage that was just for stand-ups, and I would say 100 yards away was Peter Frampton playing as loud as he possibly could. I was getting that all through the show. So I had the crowd that was there to see me, a slightly smaller crowd than just the ones to see Peter Frampton.
I doubt it.
To chant, Frampton, keep it down. Frampton, keep it down. We were all shouting that. It didn't do any good.
No.
Frampton?
Yeah.
Who was, I'm
Peter Frampton.
I was hearing Peter Gabriel in my head for some reason.
Wah, 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 wah. Kept hearing that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. If I had to choose between you and Peter Frampton.
Frampton.
Probably.
Yeah. At some point, I was
listening. I work
with
you every day, though.
Well, at some point, he was playing some song that I really liked, and I go,
do you feel like we do?
We'll be a break for a second, because I want to hear the song, and then we'll come back for more comedy.
So how hard is my 11-year-old daughter going to come at me about Ariana Grande?
Oh, then? Yeah.
But now, will your 11-year-old daughter want to go to Lollapalooza?
Oh, she's not ready.
My kids have not gone. I know your daughters have. For some reason, they haven't been
That's
interested.
Strange.
I know.
I wonder what's
going
on.
It's too much.
It is. It's sensory overload. Music
it
sensory
sure
overload.
It sure seems like it.
And for those people who want to get alcohol, now's the time to start burying it in Grant Park so that you can undig it out in August so it's there. Yeah.
Right. And I put a giant purple stick in the ground by it so I remember where it is.
Well, yeah.
It's easier that way.
Yeah. Or you can drone it in, I guess.
Yeah, it's easier.
I'll never forget. I usually go, when I go, I've been always credentialed to go cover it for ABC or WGN or whatever station I'm working for. And I will never forget that. I don't think this is possible anymore, but one day I was walking down, I think it was Michigan Avenue, and some guy just went for it, and he ran and he hopped the fence, and and basically security just stared at him like, how the heck? Like,
really?
Literally. And then I just saw him take off into the crowd, never to be seen again.
Was it Orion? It was. All right, Ryan, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you, Ryan.
We'll take a little break, and then we'll say goodbye. Get your Kleenexes out. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, here's the going home music that we started the show with today.
We've
so
full circle, Wendy.
I like this.
This is the part I came in on, so we should leave now.
We are.
Yeah, we're going to leave now. It's over.
I'm puzzled.
That's it. Tomorrow, another fun show. We'll hope that you'll listen. And that's it. Enjoy your Wednesday. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, bro.